The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
COVID is back again, particularly in tourist hotspots like Wexford, Waterford and Kerry, which now have the highest COVID incidence in the country. There has also been an increase in hospital cases, rising to 243 from 192 in a week, half of those being treated for other illnesses, so they could be regarded, I suppose, as incidental COVID hospitalizations. Now, for more on this, we're joined from Prague by Cliona Farrelly, Professor of Comparative Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin. Cliona, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, how real is this surge? And I mean, how are they being discovered? Because no one's wearing a mask anymore. No one seems to be coughing and spluttering. Looking around the News Talk offices, no absentees. So what's going on?
Well, it's entirely expected for precisely those reasons. Our behaviour has completely changed. We no longer do social distancing. We're not wearing our masks. We're in crowds. I mean, people saw what was happening in the airport. So, and the vast majority of us are vaccinated. So many of us who pick up an infection will pass it on without knowing it. So many people are symptomless. So that's how come 50% in the hospitals, you know, would have been picked up when they went into the hospital, because there was no other reason to think that they were positive before they went in. So a surge is not surprising, though it's not exactly the same one as the WHO predicted a surge as well. There's probably another one coming down the line in September, but we'll talk about that in a sec.
Now, vaccination, therefore, has worked because the guarantee was not that you wouldn't get COVID, but that you wouldn't get seriously sick and you wouldn't end up in hospital.
Exactly. The vaccines have been just amazing. They're far from perfect. We know they don't work in absolutely everybody, and we know that many people still get infected. But a whole load of people don't get infected, Pat. So the vaccines, and again, that's a big puzzle for us immunologists. Why does the vaccine work so much better in some people than in others?
And what's the latest theory on that, Cliona?
Of course, variability in the immune system. Yeah. The human immune system is so very, because you'll know that I have a personal interest in why some people are resistant to infection in the first place. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing that's out there. There is a proportion of people who are resistant to SARS-CoV-2, and we still don't know what proportion that is. Those would be people now who were exposed before vaccination. We're looking for people with two exposures, people who had been exposed before they got vaccinated and once again since, and still did not become infected. So those are the resistant ones. Then there are people who get infected but show no symptoms. Those are the symptomless people in whom the vaccine has worked enough to stop their sickness, but not necessarily enough to stop the actual infection itself. So there's still so much work to be done.
Now, we've been talking with your colleague Luke O'Neill about monkeypox and, you know, what might be causing this and whether or not people have not been exposed to all the usual winter bugs because they were mask wearing and isolating and remote working and all the rest of it. My own experience would be that for the first time in yonks, I haven't had a common cold. I mean, just no symptoms whatsoever for the last couple of years. And I presume it's to do with isolation.
Probably. And there's something very different going on with the monkeypox. I don't know whether Luke talked about this. It's really interesting. There's a whole lot of mutations in the monkey pox virus, much more than normally would. We'd normally expect. It's a totally different virus to the SARS-CoV-2, and that's also what causes a big puzzle. You know, it's a bit like studying an elephant or a sea urchin. They're that different, you know.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, this whole thing about the increased mutation rate and accumulation of mutations in the monkeypox virus is really interesting. But back to your own self, a whole load of people were living much more careful lives during lockdown. So I'd say, and those of us who are privileged and able to do that probably have kept ourselves isolated from infection. And maybe some of us are leading more healthy lifestyles. Mm. And so that has helped too.
Yeah. The other thing, you know, I'm asking myself all the time, what am I doing that is protecting me? I mean, I'm taking vitamin D, for example, because that was one of the things that would help you cope with COVID if you got it. Maybe that's, I just don't know. I'm perplexed and delighted
maybe
at the same time.
Maybe you're less stressed, but I don't think there would be one single answer that would explain things for everybody. And that's also the puzzle, is what works in some people doesn't necessarily work in others. But the overall, the healthy lifestyle is something that we really can do something about.
How concerned should we be about this slight, and it is only slight at the moment, uptick in hospitalizations, which are separate from other conditions, because you know, incidental discoveries of COVID are one thing, but people who are hospitalized only for COVID, that's something else. And the cases that are being diagnosed in the so-called holiday hotspots.
Yeah, well, you see, this is why it is quite serious, because there are still some people around who aren't vaccinated. And then there is the small percentage of people who, for whatever reason, don't make an immune response to the vaccine. We don't know why that is. I mean, it's been demonstrated to be 95% efficacious in trials, but that means 5% doesn't work. You know, and 5% of a huge number of people is still a significant number. And then the third thing is that there are these two new strains coming down, or, you know, they're coming down the road. So which of, and then the fourth thing is that the immune response to the vaccine wanes. And again, back to the personal kind of variation in the human immune system, it wanes more in some people than others. And it's especially in older people. So anyone who is being recommended a booster or being offered a booster absolutely should take it. And I suspect the vaccine people are thinking about a booster for everybody come September.
Yeah, because the science, again reported by Luke during the week, was, you know, 100 million people looked at, and three shots seem to work very well. But of course, we know about waning efficacy in vaccines. So the question is, do we just keep getting boosters and maybe more sophisticated boosters? Is that the way forward?
Exactly. Probably. I mean, what the vaccinologists are really aiming for is a vaccine that would work against all coronaviruses. You know, I mean, that would be the holy grail. Mm. But that's a long way off. But in the meantime, because even though here in Ireland so many of us are vaccinated, you know that across the globe there are many countries with very, very low rates of vaccination, both for economic and political reasons. And for as long as there's that much virus circulating around the globe, it's going to keep changing. And so there will be more variants popping up. And the current vaccines will provide some protection against any of them, probably. But we do need more.
When you talk about 5% not benefiting from the vaccine, so effective for 95% and ineffective for 5%. If the whole available population was vaccinated, that would leave something over 200,000 people of those vaccinated people who are vulnerable. And then you've got the people who refuse to be vaccinated. We could be looking at, you know, maybe 500,000 or more people out there who are vulnerable to COVID.
Exactly. That's exactly where the numbers are increasing. And then once we start moving in crowds, then inevitably the virus keeps going round. I mean, what we had been talking about 2 years ago was trying to get community immunity. If you get enough people vaccinated and enough people with protective immune responses, then the virus can't thrive.
Yeah.
And that's the best way of protecting the vulnerable and the people who don't respond to the vaccine. But we're a long way off that yet, because this virus is just so infectious.
Yeah. The rate of infection at the moment, highest among the 35 to 44-year age group, followed by the 25 to 34, and then followed by the 45 to 54. The older cohorts, many of them, of course, triply vaccinated, if not quadruply vaccinated, so perhaps not seeing anything there. And in the teenagers, maybe they're all or most of them asymptomatic, so you're not finding it even though
you're
it's there.
The illness. Now, but also, I'd say those age groups are the ones that are travelling a lot as well. I mean, the airport is a sight to be seen, because I'm at a conference here, an immunological conference in Prague, and it's just crowds. And you're just saying, oh my God, there must be so much virus around here.
And what about Prague Airport? I mean, were they wearing masks or not?
They were wearing masks, but certainly in all around Prague, it's very haphazard. There's certainly not a lot of mask wearing. So I think all across Europe, it's kind of the same, Pat. It's this real longing for it to be over.
Yeah.
So we're having, I don't know if Luke mentioned us, but we're having a fantastic international scientific conference tomorrow and Friday, followed on COVID-19 research and the immunology and the vaccines with some really big name speakers. But then we're having a public discussion on about all of this on Saturday. This is open to the public, and people should, it's an Eventbrite thing, so people can sign up for it. But we're having Luke and Kingston and Cliona Ní Chealaigh, but also ethicists like Linda Hogan, who was on the Council of Bioethics 15 years ago when we did a workshop on pandemics and anticipated nearly everything that happened. It's just really exciting. So Linda is going to talk about how should a society best make decisions in a time of a pandemic? And how might we make better decisions in future pandemics? But on Twitter, a whole lot of people got upset because we called it Ireland's pandemic past and future. And a whole lot of people got annoyed because they said it's still here. It's just Ireland's pandemic past, present and future. They're absolutely right.
By the way, Cliona, how was your Dublin airport experience? Were you caught in any of the queues? And if you were, and there's always some queue for security, were people masked or otherwise?
Oh, yes, everyone was masked. At Dublin Airport, my experience was huge numbers of people, but very, very efficient. I mean, I was really impressed. I saw none of the chaos that was on that Sunday. So it seems that they really have put systems in place. But again, it intrigues me. Well, here I am traveling to this international meeting, and but already the face-to-face encounter has been just so worthwhile. But I was thinking that about all of it. Where are all of these people going? So the Irish just really want to get off our little island.
Yeah, well, we probably felt quite claustrophobic being confined to our beautiful island for a couple of years. Even people who never travelled anywhere had that feeling. Now, you mentioned the variants that may be on their way. What's the WHO currently saying?
Yeah, they're saying they're on their way. It was the WHO that predicted this, are predicting the surge for Ireland and other parts of Europe in September, because of these variants coming down. That the current vaccines wouldn't be quite as effective against these variants, and so I suspect that the spike that we're having now is because of behaviour, but we probably still are likely to have this surge in September that's predicted by WHO. It's a really great website. People should keep an eye on it.
Just a question from one of our listeners. I have all my vaccines and I'm due my second booster. I have COVID now. Thankfully, I'm fine. Should I bother with the booster? I mean, she won't be allowed to have the booster until a certain number of weeks have passed. But
she should be delighted. She should be delighted, if you could say it. I know one isn't supposed to say it, but delighted that she got infected and was completely well, because the data is showing that an infection on top of the vaccine is what gives best protection. Because having an infection means that your immune system has been exposed to all sorts of bits and pieces of the virus, not just the spike protein. You see, that's the problem with the vaccine. You only get the spike protein into your system, so your body only makes an immune response against the spike protein. Now, that's really brilliant because it stops the spike from binding to its cognate target in the host. But if you get infected, then all sorts of other viral proteins have been introduced to your immune system, viral nucleic acids. So you make a really broad spectrum immune response. You make T cells and antibodies, and you boost your anti-spike ones that were made by the vaccine. So in a way, that we should be kind of optimistic, or not optimistic, but we should look. We should be pleased about the large number of people getting infected without symptoms.
Finally, Cliona, a listener worried that what's going to happen is that just like a bacterium that changes and over the time to evade antibiotics, that eventually one of these viruses will change so much that nothing we can do will stop it.
Absolutely. I mean, that is. But you see, and this comes back again to the whole variability of the human immune system. I mean, we've talked about that enormous spectrum. We see that all the time with SARS-CoV-2, from people who just don't get it, who get it but very little symptoms, and then people who get very sick and die. Because of that, the huge variability, there's very little chance that anything will evolve that will knock everybody out. Some people will have an immune system that can react. And that's why we have to really stay on the ball in terms of doing research on and identifying these specific cohorts of people and finding out why do we respond so differently. So there's an international consortium looking at the genes that make really severe illness when people get infected. And then there's our own study looking at the resistance. So we need more and more of that type of research.
Cliona Farrelly, Professor of Comparative Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin, but currently at a conference in Prague. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.